We're turning to the Word of God in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Reading in John 14. And we come to the last of the three promises that we had for Christmas. My grace, which we found to be sufficient for us. My joy, which the Lord Jesus wanted to remain in us, not depending on external circumstances. And now we come to the promise of his peace. We're reading in John 14 and verse number 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you for listening quietly as we read those verses. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. How these last chapters of John unveil the heart of Jesus, don't they? They flash illumination upon the thought processes of the matchless mind in the hours leading up to the cross. Now you've got to remember, all these thoughts passed on to his disciples are leading up to Calvary. If you knew you were going to be taken out and nailed by the hands and by the feet, beaten until your face was beaten beyond recognition, lashed on the back until it would be like a ploughed field, and that God were going to turn his back on you, I wonder what your thoughts would be. These are his thoughts. Sacred soil, this, you know, the path to the cross. Sacred soil. And two things are plainly obvious from it. He plainly knew what he was going to suffer. And he possessed perfect peace as he went to that suffering. Knew it was coming, and yet he possessed perfect peace. Notice, my listener, this evening, his majestic movements, his complete composure, his calm confidence. In speaking of our Lord's peace, we need to have clear views as to what peace really is. A lot of nonsense is talked about peace these days. They talk about peace talks. And I know that President Carter did his very best to bring Egypt and Israel together, and a lot of good in his Camp David talks. But it seemed to me they weren't so much peace talks as they were containing war. If you've ever been to Israel, you know that. The peace that is mentioned here that Jesus leaves behind him and gives to you, if you trust him as your Savior, is not impassivity. Now, what does impassivity mean? Well, there are some Christians who would give you to believe that the peace of God that is given to you is a condition of mind in which you remain completely unaffected by happenings and circumstances all around you. In other words, you have peace and you're insensible to the troublous scenes of life. And you go through it serenely, and you're not troubled. And you say, as a Christian, well, does anything really matter? I've got peace. I want to say in a word that this peace that Jesus gives and leaves is not an absence of feeling. An absence of feeling. What did Jesus say in John 12 and 27? For those of you taking notes, this might be an interesting reference. In John 12 and 27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" He had peace, yet he was troubled. His soul was troubled. He felt what was happening. We read again, "He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And Judas troubled him. He says it. He was troubled in spirit, yet he had peace. Now, let me list this, for I am sticking to a wonderful little essay written by the great Bible teacher. His name escapes me at the moment, but he listed a list here that I took down, and I want to just go over it very quietly with you, because I found it very stirring. Here it is. The Lord Jesus could be moved with compassionate concern for the multitudes. Couldn't he? He was moved with compassion. Yet he had peace. He wasn't insensible, as far as his feelings were concerned, about starving people. And there's a girl here this evening, you know, and she's been training at Bible college. And the Lord, she feels, is calling her to Bangladesh. And I know that she's here this evening, and I know that her heart bleeds for that great nation. She has great compassion for them. And maybe soon the Lord will be launching her in that direction in his will. Who knows? She's willing to go wherever the Lord would send her. I was chatting to her this evening. And she was moved with compassion for Bangladesh. Can't get it out of her mind. She's going to give her time and talents to learning the word of God. Seeking the will of God. Ah, that's like Jesus. The Lord Jesus could sigh over the suffering of the afflicted and yet still have peace. He could weep at the grave of Lazarus. And some of the theologians say, well, he was just crying because of their unbelief. I don't believe it for one minute. He loved Lazarus. And he wept because his friend had died. Certainly the Lord Jesus could weep because it was sin that was brought into the world and death by sin. But I still think he had great feelings for his friend and he wept. And I don't like this attitude when people die that some people say we should all be happy and singing, they've gone to be with the Lord and we don't need to have any sorrow. When this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying, O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Don't stand over a grave and say, O death, where is thy sting? Because everybody standing round the grave is breaking their heart. The sting is very obvious. But when that body is raised, in that wonderful day, then shall come to pass the saying, grave, you can't hold me now. The body goes to join the soul. What a truth. So Jesus wept. He could marvel at men's unbelief. He could thunder forth his anger at the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees. He could be troubled at the prospect of his agony. Yet he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. So peace is not impassivity. You've got to have feelings. You can be moved to tears and troubled and concerned. And that's what we should be as we see trouble around us. But this peace is such that you can have it at the same time. Peace, it seems to me, has to do also with conviction. Men don't die at the stake for their opinions. The Christian church is cluttered with boys who have opinions. But there are very few around these days who really seem to have burning convictions about where they go and why they do what they do and why they're involved and what they're involved in. And you see, when a man has a conviction of truth, he can go through any kind of suffering because he knows it's the truth and he has peace, even though he's persecuted. This peace has to do with your convictions. You know, there are lots of people and they live under the spell of a new book or a new theatre production, or a new film, and they're always filled with the latest idea put forward in the realm of science or culture. They're always taken up with new ideas. And the spell only spells restlessness, a fashion. Take the Nolan sisters. Everybody knows who they are. Great singing group of girls from Dublin. You know what they said last night? Their last record sold 750,000 copies. They have everything. Were they content? Content? That's the very thing they weren't. If only we could get on Top of the Pops, then we'd really have arrived.
Well, I'd have thought that it disappeared once they got on that.
If only we could get on Top of the Pops, we'd have arrived. They were going on about if only. And people who entertain the world, and they make it big, are they content? No, they're not content. They always want more and something else.
We're even losing George Hamilton to RTE, Bigara.
They're never content, are they? They make it one way, then they want to make it another way. In the world of the media, in the world of entertainment, in the world of novels, yes, of course, famous novels, at one minute, then they're gone the next, and somebody else comes up. Women's lib rises, and now it's beginning to, hope I'll not get into trouble for this, beginning to fade a little, and the truths of the home and the family are becoming more precious again. Swings around, doesn't it? Oh, the world is filled with restlessness. And their new spell or their new fashion comes and goes, and they are dependent upon these things. No conviction. Ah, but the Christian shouldn't be filled with restlessness. You're really abiding in Him and enjoying the things of God, and all's clear between you and your Lord. You'll not be running around restless. And oh, I only wish I could do it here, and only wish I could have that. You'd be content with such things as you have. And you'll not be always trying to have what you haven't got or can't get. So if you want this conviction of this peace, it's built on knowledge, belief, and assurance. And when you're really gripped by the intelligent assurance that all is working out for good, then you have peace. But whenever you think the Lord doesn't care, or it's not all working out for good, then you get restless. Human hearts have always longed for knowledge and certainty about four great things. There are four things in life everybody wants to know about and be sure about. And I'm sure you'll all agree with me. The first one is the divine. They want to know about the divine. The divine being God. They want to know about the beyond. Not the immediate future, but the beyond. What lies beyond? What's a way out there? What's out there? They want to know about the future, the immediate future. What's going to happen to me next week, next year? And then they want to know about the present. They want to be sure what's happening to them now. The divine, the beyond, the future, and the present. And everybody gets restless over those four things. The Lord Jesus had peace on those four things. What does He say about them? He had peace about the divine. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. 14:10. The Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. 14:10. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. 15:1. John's Gospel. The Father hath loved me. 15:9. He that hateth me hateth my Father. 15:23. All things that the Father hath are mine. 16:15. He's quite sure about His deity. What about the beyond? He had peace. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. No ifs, no buts, no perhapses, no might be's. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go unto the Father. Do you know how many times that's said? Chapter 14, verse 12, chapter 14, verse 28, chapter 16, verse 10, chapter 16, verse 16, and chapter 16, verse 28. All of them said, I go unto the Father. So he knew the beyond. What about the immediate future? Notice the Lord's assurance and calm about the future. What does he say? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The future, he was coming back. The Father shall give you another comforter, that he may be abide with you forever. They shall, he says in the future, they shall put you out of the synagogues. These things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them.
He knows about the future, because he holds the future.
Notice our Lord's perfect assurance about the present. Listen to what he says. Is he about to be given into the hands of wicked men?
Yes.
What does he say? He knows that the Father hath given all things into his hands.
He's not frightened of these wicked men.
Is the prince of this world about to come and attack him and have a final wrestle with him in Gethsemane?
Yes, that's true.
And what does he say? The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
When the devil comes to you, there's something inside that responds.
When the devil came to the Savior, there was nothing inside him to respond. No sin. That's why I believe that Christ not only did not sin, but could not sin. Sinless.
Are all his disciples about to forsake him?
Yes, they certainly are. What can he say?
The Father is with me.
Is he to be crucified?
Yes, he is.
I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
So they're all covered. He knows about them all. So he has peace.
You know, you need peace from the world's hostility as a Christian. Some of you think the Lord has been absent too long and you long for his return and you're restless.
You need peace.
Satan opposes you.
You need peace.
About the beyond, about the future, about the present. Well, what can you say as a Christian tonight? My peace, says Jesus. My peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Because if you're a Christian tonight, you can sit in this meeting and say, I have peace about the beyond. What will happen? The presence of the Lord forever. That's where we're going. We're going there. The presence of the Lord forever. So we're not scared about the beyond. We're not asking any terrible questions about it. It's in his hands. We're content. We have peace. If you're not a Christian tonight, you don't know the Savior. You must tremble as you think of the beyond and the hell that awaits the Christ rejecter. How do you do it? What about the future? Well, I will come again and receive you unto myself, Jesus said. So in the immediate future, he's about to come for us, and he may come tonight. And we've got to be ready to depart at any minute. What about the present? Well, we've got the Comforter for the present, haven't we? He's given us the Holy Spirit, who will teach us. And in John's Gospel, he says that the Holy Spirit will do three things. He shall abide with you. He shall be in you. He shall teach you. Abide in you. Or abide with you. Be in you and teach you. You've got the Comforter for the present. And notice, it's his own peace he gives to you. It's my grace. His grace is sufficient for you. His joy remains in you. And the very same peace that Jesus had about the beyond, the future, and the present is the very same joy and peace that you can have tonight facing those things. My peace, my peace, my peace I give unto you. I want you to notice that it says, peace I leave with you. Why does he say peace and my peace? Well, when he says peace I leave with you, it's quite clear that that's peace about all these things. You've got peace about past, present, future, and the beyond. But then he comes closer and he says, my peace I give unto you. Not only have you got peace about these things, but the peace that I have is transfused into you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that tonight, sitting in this bond city, amidst tragedy and trouble, troubled about the future, and quite naturally frightened about what's happening around us, you can know in the midst of all your troubled and sorrowful spirit, his peace in you. And although strong crying and tears were at Gethsemane, and pain and sorrow were his beyond description at Calvary, he was at peace with God. Someone has said, my peace, or peace I leave with you, that's a bequeathment. Somebody bequeaths you something, they leave it to you. But notice, my peace I give unto you, that's a bestowment. I'll give it to you now. Peace I leave, that's a bequeathment. Peace I give, that's a bestowment.
impartation and leaving. And will you please notice that there is a difference in between peace with God and the peace of God.
When you get saved, you get peace with God that nobody can disturb. Nobody can move it.
Romans 5 and 1, Colossians 1 and 20.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God.
You've got it. Nobody can disturb it. But will you notice that Philippians 4 and 6 to 7 states that you have to make your requests with thanksgiving and your prayer and supplication, and make your requests with thanksgiving to God, and the peace of God will guard your, fill your heart and mind. The peace of God will guard your heart and guard your mind whenever you come to the Lord with thanksgiving and repentance into His presence. That peace fills you.
You go and get that peace. That's the peace of God that comes to you when you are in real trouble or when you come for help. But peace with God remains.
And there's peace of God for you through all of these things. I think that's what Isaiah 26 and 3 means.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace.
Whose what?
Whose mind is stayed upon thee. You have to calm your mind and rest it. As an old Chinese missionary told my mother once, she said that should be translated, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stops at God.
You've got to rest in the promises of God. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee.
On earth peace and goodwill toward man.
Yeah, that's true. But I want you to notice there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus will set up his kingdom on this earth. And there's going to be an absolutely marvelous truth which is going to come to pass in those days. He's given us peace in our hearts in these days, but not peace in the world. But when he comes to set up his kingdom, I want you to read it with me, and then this message is through.
Isaiah 11, verse number 6 to 9.
Christ came to provide peace on earth, but this will not be realized fully until he returns again to effect it in person. And this is what is going to happen when his kingdom is set up. And we'll be thinking about that particularly next month. Isaiah 11, 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. Just imagine a little tiny newborn baby going up to an asp's nest and play right at the entrance to it. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Friends, I was traveling in the Soviet Union when I was at Queen's here one night, and I was frightened. I was alone, so one of the first times I'd ever been away from home. And I was traveling right from the Russian border to Moscow in the train. And as it was rattling through the night, I thought, what have I gotten myself into here? And we had had some pretty difficult experiences on the way there, which I don't want to repeat in public. But I'd learned a thing or two about traveling alone. And as I was lying in bed, I said, Lord, would you give me a wee promise? Because I'm troubled. And I never forget lifting down my Bible, which the guards had let me in with at the border. I never forget lifting down my Bible, and it fell open at these words, and I commend them to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.